8:04. This is Community and Regional Affairs. This will be our final meeting for this session. Present are Representative Foster, Representative Olson, Representative Reinbold, Representative Drummond, and myself, Chair Ledoux. My fellow co-chair, Representative Nagiak, is excused from today's meeting. I'd also like to recognize the staff today and thank you for all your work during this session. Crystal Jones and Laura Berg and our CRA committee staff, which is Dirk Moffitt and Kimberly Clark. To begin with, please, everybody, turn off your cell phones or you're going to have to get donuts. So, today we only have one item on the agenda. The short title is Property Tax Exemption for Widows and Widowers. Senator Meyer, could you please come up and introduce yourself and introduce your bill?
Would you like a motion to adopt?
We have a
Great. Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the Community Regional Affairs Committee. I really do appreciate this at 8 o'clock on a Saturday morning, second to the last day of session. I know you have plenty of other things to do. But this is a very important bill, and I appreciate you taking the time to hear it. Madam Chair, this Senate Bill 73 is a bill that supports our military families who have built their lives here in Alaska and who have chosen to remain in Alaska even though their husband or wife have been killed in military duty. This was brought to my attention by a constituent who lost her husband in a C-150 airplane accident that killed five Air National Guard members. She did the right thing. Well, she was devastated, obviously, financially and emotionally by the loss of her husband. But she did the right thing. She then approached the Anchorage Assembly and asked if there's any relief she could get on the property tax, and the Assembly then put the issue before the voters on a ballot, and it approved overwhelmingly, almost by 80%. Unfortunately, there was a caveat to that in the sense that local municipalities could not do that without enabling ordinance from the state. So that's why we're here today, Madam Chair, to do that. And what this legislation does, it allows municipalities the option. They don't have to do this, but at least it gives them the option with the vote of the people to exempt the first $150,000 of excess value of their home to any widow or widower of a member of an armed service, including the National Guard, who dies in a result of a service-related cause. We feel like this will help our military families when they need it the most. On top of being emotionally devastated, as was my constituent, often these widow or widowers are financially devastated as well. They find themselves all of a sudden living with a lot less than they had before and having to pay the bills. We just felt like this was the least that we could do for the military families who have been and are sacrificing on behalf of us and our nation. So, Madam Chair, committee members, I hope you'll support this, and we're available for any questions.
Thank you, Matt, very much. Can we begin? I get a motion to adopt the...
Madam Chair, I move that we adopt Amendment P.2 as the amendment before us.
I was going to ask whether you wanted to move this, adopt the CS.
Oh, I didn't know how long we are. I move that we adopt CS.
Do we have any questions from the committee?
Madam Chair, Senator Meyer, what I'm wondering is how come only $150,000? Is right now that doesn't buy much. So I'm just wondering why that figure.
To the Chair, or Representative Reinbold, that's the same amount that currently is in statute for, I think it's disabled veterans, and there was, if I may, have my trustee staff help me out here.
For the record, Edra Morledge, staff to Senator Meyer, through the chair, Representative Reinbold. That's the current limit that's set for several other optional exemptions, and including widowers and widows of disabled veterans. However, in cases of hardship, municipalities can offer a higher amount. That's up, that will be up to them, up to municipalities to set those procedures. And
second question. And I think you guys can't answer this question, but is it something they have to go and reapply for every single year? It probably depends on the, no?
No.
Okay, go ahead.
Are there any other questions from the committee? Yes, Representative Foster.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The if the person moves out of state, what was the mechanism there? Like, say they move out halfway through the year, would the municipality just prorata that, or would that, or how would that work?
Well, I don't know if Edra, if you want to take a stab at this, but I think this is something the municipalities are pretty accustomed to doing, you know, because there is already a senior citizen exemption, and there's, as was mentioned, disabled. They already do make quite a few exemptions, but I frankly don't know how the municipalities handle that if somebody moves halfway out of the year.
And I just want to clarify, Representative Myers, this is permissive for the municipalities to do this, correct?
Totally optional, yes.
Okay. Any more questions for Senator Meyer or his staff? Representative Drummond.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just have a comment to make. It's rather interesting to be on the same body that Senator Meyer and I was on as a member of the Anchorage Municipal Assembly recently, to have voted to put this ordinance change on the ballot in Anchorage a year ago, and now to be voting to amend the state statute that enables that ordinance to take place in Anchorage. Representative Reinbold and I are passing notes here about the value of the exemption to the property owner, and I looked it up. My own home is valued at a little more than $300,000, and the property tax is about $4,600 a year, so half of that would be the $150,000 exemption. So it's worth roughly $2,200, if I'm guesstimating correctly. And it's the $150,000 is no different from the senior property tax exemption, the regular disabled veterans property tax exemption, if there could be such a thing. And we have discussed in Anchorage recently increasing that deduction, because the $150,000 was put in place many, many years ago when homes were valued closer to $150,000, so it was more of a forgiveness of almost the entire property tax in many cases. But that's now, the average price of a home in Anchorage is somewhat over $300,000, and we keep thinking that that value, that deduction needs to be increased. But that's another conversation than what we have in front of us today.
Madam Chair?
Yes?
I think in our haste to get started this morning, I failed to object for purposes of discussion to this amendment.
Okay, well, actually, what happened this morning is I think you introduced the amendment. So now, Representative Drummond, why don't you rescind it, because it's not your amendment.
I'll
and we'll
rescind.
Let Representative Drummond introduce the amendment, and then you can, object for purposes of discussion.
Actually, I was commenting on the bill as a whole, on the amendment to the bill as a whole. I do have an amendment to present. I'm offering, I'm not sure of the language, Madam Chair. I'm offering the amendment. Do you want me to read the amendment?
Why don't you read the amendment and tell us what it does?
Okay. On page 1, line 2, following widowers, we would insert, quote, providing a definition of widow and widower. Oh, I'm sorry. That's already in there. On page 5, on line 5, wait a minute, I'm confused. I'm sorry, Madam Chair, it's too early in the morning. On page 2, line 11, following spouse, insert, quote, or committed financially interdependent same-sex domestic partner, end quote.
I'll object for purposes of discussion.
Representative Reinbold.
This came before, this bill came before a previous committee that I was on, and we discussed this, and they could give us no data of how many, how this affected, and someone was on the line, and so anyway, we rejected this amendment in the past.
Can I ask the sponsor his feelings about the amendment?
Sure. Thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, and we're not trying to exclude any group of people whatsoever, but we're just simply trying to conform with existing statute. It is our understanding that this there was a Supreme Court case, Schmidt versus State of Alaska, that called into question the constitutionality of the existing senior citizen and disabled veterans property tax exemption. And the state is currently appealing that decision, and no decision has been handed down. The Supreme Court could rule, who knows how they're going to rule. But at the time they do make their ruling, then we're going to have to change all of our statutes accordingly, and in which case then we would just change our bill at the same time we change the other statutes.
Representative Foster.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a question, and that is, so if you have a spouse, you can go to the local courthouse and look up a marriage license, and you see it's right there, and you know somebody's married. Well, how do you define and know whether or not somebody's in a committed, financially independent, interdependent, same-sex domestic partnership? Is that something? Maybe that's something that the ACLU needs to answer. I don't know.
Well, we actually have the ACLU, Mr. Mittman, on the line. So, Mr. Mittman?
Madam Chair.
Yeah, can you identify yourself for the record and address Representative Foster's question?
Certainly. My name is Jeffrey Mittman. I'm the Executive Director of the ACLU of Alaska. The definition of same-sex committed partner has been established by the state of Alaska in the underlying action, which has been decided by the Supreme Court, and that is the case of AKCLU v. State. The state Supreme Court allowed the state of Alaska and the municipality of Anchorage to come up with factors that were sufficient to satisfy both the state and the municipality that the relationship was akin to that of a marriage relationship. And that way the state was satisfied that it was giving the same benefits to same-sex committed couples as were being given to opposite-sex committed couples, as was required by the Supreme Court. To be clear, again, there are two Supreme Court cases, one that has already been decided, and that determined the principle, which was the basis for the trial court's decision in the property tax exemption case. And that is, because the Alaska Constitution forbids same-sex couples from ever being married, it is unconstitutional to deny them the same rights. With respect to the information requested as to the numbers of personnel, we have provided the information from the Service Members Legal Defense Network that has a census of the number of same-sex committed couples, one of which at least is in military service, and I'm happy to provide that at any time to any member of this committee.
Follow-up, Representative Foster.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Did the municipality of Anchorage put this into their provision for this?
Through the Chair, Representative Foster, no, okay. They did not.
And so, can I ask Representative Meyer, so the senior tax exemption doesn't have anything similar to this amendment, is that correct?
Chair LeDoux, that's correct.
Representative Reinbold.
Okay. When we were in the previous committee of the military veterans, that information was not available. And in regards to DOMA, does this impact DOMA? I mean, that's a federal law.
Perhaps you would like to address your question to Representative Meyer.
Oh, the Defense of Marriage Act, which is the current law of the land.
I'm sorry, what was your question?
The current law of the land is DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act. To me, this would, you know, potentially I'd like to see if that's an interpretation that would allow this in our...
Do you know anything about that?
Through the chair, Representative Reinbold, that's actually the very crux of the issue that we're talking about right now. The Alaska Supreme Court did rule that our definition, the way that we provide benefits for widows and widowers is unconstitutional, just like Mr. Mittman just testified. However, it's currently on appeal. The Department of Law is appealing that decision, and because there is no decision that's been handed down yet, we feel that it's premature to put this language into our statute when, if indeed they do rule in the favor of that, we will have to go through all of our statutes and clean up all of that language, and we can address that at that time. Right now, we're just simply trying to conform with the existing language that's already in our statutes.
Thank you. We've gotten things. Can I take a brief of these? We've kind of gotten public testimony mixed in with the discussion of the amendment, and I'm just going to continue since it's the amendment which is one of the more controversial aspects of the public testimony. I think we'll just continue with the consent of the committee. We'll just continue with the public testimony at this point. So, or did anybody else have any more questions for the sponsor of the bill? Okay, then we will continue and open the public testimony. We've already heard from Mr. Mittman. We also have Susan Toe. Susan, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, could you please identify yourself from the record and let us know if there's any organization that you're representing?
Yes, my name is Susan Tao. I live in Anchorage, Alaska, and I'm currently representing myself.
Proceed. Thank you.
Okay. Good morning. My name is Susan Tao, and I would like to thank you for allowing me the time to testify today regarding the inclusion of same-sex partners into Senate Bill 73. I served 22 years of honorable service in the United States Air Force. 12 of those years were served while stationed here in the state of Alaska. During those years, I deployed to support ongoing contingencies in Iraq and Afghanistan. My last deployment before I retired was as the superintendent of medical logistics. This tour lasted 12 months. 7 months out of that year, I traveled extensively throughout Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, and the UAE. Most of these travels were on Black Hawk helicopters or via ground support. I have been shot at, and I have pulled my weapon in self-defense. I was always armed, and my weapon was always locked and loaded. I have carried wounded soldiers, Marines, and airmen from the heliport pad in Balad into the ER for treatment. I have spent nights in bunkers in Kabul and Kandahar, praying that the incoming bullets and missiles did not hit their intended targets. I have stood on many Patriot details as our fallen brothers and sisters were loaded for their final transport back to their families. Through all of this, my thoughts were always with my family, my wife, and our two young sons. If I were to die, what would become of them? I knew we didn't have the same rights or benefits extended to many of my coworkers. As a retired senior NCO, I mentor many gay and lesbian active duty military members. Most of them have families. Many of them own property together here in Alaska. Many of them are raising children and have been in committed relationships for years. These airmen and soldiers are geared to deploy at any given time. They are in combat-related jobs, infantry, security forces, fighter pilots, crew chiefs, and combat medics. They are set to deploy and defend our country whenever asked. Their number one fear is that their families will not be taken care of should they not return from a mission. Senate Bill 73 is set to honor Alaska's fallen warriors and support widows and widowers of service members that are killed while on active duty. This must include our gay and lesbian military families who are prepared to give their all in the hope that if they do, their families will be taken care of. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions for Ms. Toe? Well, Ms. Toe, thank you very much for your service to our country. Let's see, we also have two people from the AG's office, Tom Dosek and Rachel Witte, but I think you folks are there just to answer questions. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. And Mr. Mittman, I think I cut you off. Sorry about that. Had you had anything more that you wanted to testify to?
Madam Chair, if I might, I would appreciate that.
Go ahead.
Thank you. As I said, my name is Jeffrey Mittman. I am the Executive Director of the ACLU of Alaska, and I do appreciate the opportunity to testify before the committee. There are a few issues. There are several reasons to accept this amendment, and there are really no reasons not to. One, for those who followed the news, this week in the state of Missouri, there was a couple in the hospital. A couple had been in a relationship for 5 years. They had done everything they could legally to take care of each other, even having medical powers of attorney so that they could be the ones who decided when there was a medical emergency, as all committed couples do. However, because the state of Missouri had not taken the legal action necessary to recognize that relationship, the hospital was unclear and in the time of need kicked one partner out of the hospital room. The state of Alaska is a little behind the times in terms of our law, but whatever we want to do with our policy, whatever we want to do with our laws, we know that there are committed families who are living together. Anybody who has a husband or a wife or a family member whom they love understands that these matters are not matters of politics, as has been questioned in a prior committee. This is a matter of family. We know that there are service members who are currently serving in the military who are in long-term committed relationships, who have children. They need just as much as same-sex married couples and their families need the protections that this bill offers. This is not controversial. This is not difficult. A very similar law like this was considered by the 26th legislature in the year 2010, and the amendment was accepted. The sponsor of the bill can testify to that fact. It was in that committee. This is a very simple change. DOMA does not forbid it. DOMA simply states that the federal government would not necessarily recognize same-sex committed marriages. It does not forbid any state or any municipality from recognizing the service of a gay or lesbian service member and taking care of their families. The state of Alaska has the right to do, as we have always and historically done, honor service. If we have somebody who is willing to give his or her life for their country, I think it is appropriate that the state of Alaska will say, we will also take care of you at the time of death. Again, the Alaska Supreme Court has ruled whether or not the Schmidt case is found on appeal to be a good law, which we have every confidence it will be. There is nothing that forbids this committee now from doing the right thing. For 70 years, lesbian and gay couples have been fighting, not for politics, not for principle, but simply to take care of themselves. I would hope that this committee would do the same. With that, I'm happy to answer any questions there might be.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mittman. Does anybody have any questions for Mr. Mittman? Okay. We also have on the line Lynn Davis.
Actually, I'm here.
Oh. Ah, okay. Ms. Davis?
Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity. I'm Lynn Davis, and I live across the bridge. I'm a 20-year resident of Alaska, and I'm a member of the LGBT community. I knew in 1954 that I was gay. There was no word for it. I lived in Ohio. It's been a long journey. I love this state. Sadly, there's an ongoing backwardness toward the LGBT community that pierces my heart on a daily basis. Our nation's military, gay and straight, simply want to serve their country. The LGBT soldiers and vets, as we have been learning through their powerful personal testimony these last few years, have had to fight on more fronts than their straight counterparts. Besides fighting in all the wars, the LGBT military have had to fight decades of deadly institutional discrimination. Based on their testimony about how their work and lives have been deeply harmed by anti-gay attitudes and structures, our country moves strongly to strike down Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and our Alaska senators boldly stood up against the injustice and harm of treating LGBT military as second-class citizens. Now Alaska faces a moment of forward, positive, inclusive, respectful action toward my community, the lesbian, gay, trans, bisexual, and transgendered community. I urge you to include the widows and widowers of veteran same-gender domestic partners in the property tax exemptions. As the poet Terry Tempest Williams says, we are a nation at war with ourselves. Let's take this opportunity to say Alaska stands for equality and fairness for our military veterans. Let's take steps to end harmful treatment of our LGBT vets. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions for Ms. Davis? Thank you very much for your testimony. Okay, I noticed that we have also Scott Ruby in the audience just to answer questions. Is that correct? So do we have anybody else online who wishes to testify, or anybody else in the audience that wishes to testify? All right, then I will close public testimony and take this back to the committee. The first thing that we have is the amendment, which is on the floor. Representative Drummond, did you say that you wanted to continue with an explanation?
Actually, Madam Chair, I realized that when I read the amendment that the first three lines are actually a change to the title, and I didn't read them, and I didn't realize it. So if that's all right with you, I would like to do that at this time.
Go ahead.
Okay. On page 1, line 2, following the word widowers, insert, quote, providing a definition of widow and widower for the purpose of applying the municipal tax exemption, end quote.
Thank you. Is there any more discussion on the amendment? Representative Drummond and then Representative Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As you've heard in the testimony, there is a broad movement to actually provide a change in that definition of widow and widower in relation to the marriage, the recognized marriage of same-sex partners across the nation. And this would put Alaska in the forefront of recognizing all couples and allowing us to recognize the service of all military folks, no matter what their sexual orientation. And I hope that we will consider making this amendment. Thank you, Madam
Thank
Chair.
Thank you, Representative Drummond. Representative Olson.
I've got a question for the sponsor, Senator Myers. It's going to be an easy one. I don't think it needed to be.
Yeah, I never go anywhere without my trusty staff.
I don't know
specifically. Can you confirm that there's ongoing litigation and appeal across the street? We're in the middle of an appeal.
Yes, I can confirm that, and I know, again, my trusty staff has done more research in that area than I.
Well, I think I'll make a comment more than anything else. I get approached 3 or 4 times a year to interject in situations where we have an ongoing either case before the Supreme Court or an appeal before the Supreme Court, and I'm hesitant. I can't recall ever supporting it just because of the nature of the beast. And for that reason, I'll be maintaining my objection. It's not, I don't believe it's our right to jump into the middle of a ongoing appeal or litigation. And I think it's probably the third time in at least the last 12 months that I've had the same answer on different issues.
And if I may, Madam Chair and Representative Olson, I believe the Department of Law is online. So if you want to get that confirmed. You trust me? Okay. Thank you.
Does anybody else have any further
Well, I'll put it on record that I'll definitely be, a no on this amendment. I don't believe you can redefine marriage. I don't. It's just like redefining water. You can't. You can't redefine it. It's a basic fundamental principle, a foundation that this state, this entire land was built on. And so I absolutely, I don't appreciate that we're trying to help widows that are are truly suffering right now, and this bill is being hijacked. I don't like it. I don't think it's okay. I believe in DOMA. I believe that is the law of the land, and it's being misinterpreted. It's a very, very sad thing for this country right now. I do believe in don't ask, don't tell. I mean, I think that was a very respectable way that we were dealing with issues. And like I said, I just don't think this was an appropriate amendment at all.
Okay. I guess my comment, I concur with Representative Olson. I don't think we ought to get in the middle of the battle with the court. If the court determines that this is similar language is necessary, then I'm sure this legislature will put in similar language. So we can wait for that. So I guess we're going to take a vote on Representative Drummond.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm not certain of how you deal with Representative Olson maintaining his objection. Does that mean that we can't vote on the amendment?
No, we're going to vote as soon as you finish your comment.
Okay.
I was going to vote back the amendment.
Actually, I do agree with Representative Olson that it's not appropriate to get in the middle of something that's going to be, that is being litigated at the moment. And I hope that the court will come out with a change. But I also think it's healthy for us to have this conversation because I do believe that this is the direction that we will be going at some point.
So does that mean, Representative Drummond, that you wish to withdraw your amendment?
No, I think it's a Madam Chair, if that's all right.
All right, then, Madam Clerk, could you please call the roll?
Representative Foster.
Yes.
Representative Olson.
No.
Representative Reinbold.
No.
Representative Drummond.
Yes.
Representative Heron, not present. Co-Chair Nayak, not present. Co-Chair Ledoux.
No.
2-3.
So with that, the amendment fails. Do we have any further discussion from the committee members on this bill? Representative Drummond.
Actually, on the bill itself, I think this is exactly the direction we need to be moving in, and I fully support this bill and the service that it provides to our existing widows and widowers of military members and who have served, and I believe we need to do this to honor them.
Thank you. And I have one more comment myself on the bill itself and exemptions in general. I mean, each year, and I think this is a great bill, but each year people come before us with asking permission for the municipalities to exempt this or to exempt that or to exempt some other group. And I guess it seems to me, as a former municipal official myself, that why don't we just leave totally, and maybe this needs to be a discussion from the committee next year, why don't we just leave it totally to the municipalities to decide what they want to exempt. So, Representative Foster.
I agree with you on that, and I always thought that that was a curiosity and wasn't sure why we weren't doing that. So I agree with you on that, number one. Number two, I also do agree that this is a great bill. This is a worthy cause, and I think, you know, that this is, you know, I very, very much support this. And then the third question I have, Scott Ruby, maybe at some point we could get a list of all the exemptions that are currently out there. I know that we've got the the over 65, I think, exemption, and it seems like we've got a number on the books, and I'm just curious if there's like some kind of a list or something out there. And that's all. Thank you.
And we could talk to Mr. Ruby about why we couldn't, I mean, whether there are any really practical unintended consequences of simply leaving it to the municipalities as to what to do. So any more comments on the bill itself? Well, then, hearing none, can I have a motion to move the bill?
I move Senate Bill 7328-LS0631-P from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Thank you very much. Bill passes. Please, everybody, stay around to sign the paperwork, and it was worth getting up in the morning. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
It is.
It's worth getting up every morning.
It is 8:40 or 8:50, 8:41, and we are adjourned for the rest of this session.